still got all his confirmation money that you won't let him spend. Works on the buildings at 6 a.m. in the summer, and you give him 20%. Johnny's got a lot of conflicting ideas in his head, and he's so, so afraid. He got himself a power rack and a new haircut. Well, he's just trying to make the grade. Those old routines don't go too far. Those old routines ain't what we are. Oh, Rosie, he won't let you down. Oh, Rosie, yeah.
That is the Stripes, the standout track. Great Expectation from Spitting Image. It's a good album, Stuart Clark.
It's 11 out of 10. They're grizzled veterans of 21 and 22. They should retire, obviously. But when they were 15, the likes of Noel Gallagher and Paul Weller and Jeff Beck said, oh my God, they can play guitars like The Who. And there was this novelty factor. And it was lovely, but a bit patronising. It'll sort of pat on the head for the lovely Stripes. The last record was the Arctic Stripes. It really was far too close to Alex Turner. Whilst this has myriad influences, they found their own blend. They're kind of grown up now, but they have that youthful spunk about them, so to speak. And that is almost... What's wrong?
Carry on.
That is an almost Phil Lynott way of telling a story. I love the way they become storytellers. They're kind of kitchen sink dramas. There's side street cafes, confirmation money, trips to A&E, Weller-esque tales in four-minute form.
But this band... It seems like last year they were on the Late Late Toy Show.
Yes. Good,
amazing everybody at how brilliant they were.
Their first gig was a primary school concert in their native Cavan. And they're just amazing. They're talking about Lead Belly and blues singers from the 1940s and 50s I've never heard of. They're absolute musical anoraks. And again, old people might remember Nick Lowe. There's a real Nick Lowe influence on some of the songs, and that's not a name you drop a whole lot these days. Now, there are sort of things like The Kids Are All Right is well and truly ripped off on Turning Back. Black Shades Over Red Eyes, great title, is another Lizzie song by Proxy. There's a bit of the Boomtown Rats in there, but they get the bits and make it their own.
Let's have a listen to this is a track, A Different Kind of Tension. It borrows his name from the Buzzcocks album.
Buzzcocks album,
so let's have a listen to that. Again, let's just remind ourselves how old these guys are.
21, 22, I think one's 20. I mean, the reference points are incredible. Actually, fair play to one of the most keen supporters of young music in the world, Elton John, for signing them to his Rocket Management Company. He was the first guy to talk up the Killers.
My mammy was at his concert the other night in Cork.
Very good,
very good apparently. 2 hours and 20 minutes he stayed.
He still buys about 20 or 30 albums a month. He refuses to download, apparently. He'll go and buy the vinyl and give it to friends. Apparently, 30 people got copies of the Killers' Hot Fuss when it first came out, you know, many moons ago. So Elton kind of heard them and thought, absolutely, and he's helped to nurture them. Other fans include Dave Grohl, Roger Daltrey, who's probably very flattered because The Who are a very big in their influences. Jules Holland and David Letterman actually had them on twice, I think, and they played a blinder. They make it seem so easy. If they do less than 250 gigs a year, they've been slacking. I mean, they're permanently on the road supporting people. Now that they're headlining. And in fact, they've just put on sale tickets for two Christmas shows in Whelan's on December the 21st and 22nd. They will sell out, so go on to Ticketmaster now.
It's a great success story about young lads who clearly love music. They write their own stuff.
Yeah.
There's not covers in there. It's not squeaky pop. It is proper constructed rock and roll.
They've probably played about 1,000 gigs. What I hate, though, is their youthful good looks and the fact the girls love them. The Japanese, it's incredible. If I tweet, actually, they're very sweet boys because they bring me a present back every time from Japan, these weird kind of games on a stick. It's kind of a modern form of payola, and there's not enough of that.
You don't get that much
radio
anymore, do you?
And yeah. Journalists. So they're very nice like that. But you tweet something, and 30 or 40 people from Japan who probably can't understand what you're talking about retweet it. And they played a charity gig here last year, and they're one of 10 bands. And I thought, why are there 50 sort of 18-year-old Japanese girls who sat through the oldest stuff looking very bored? The Strikes came on for 5 minutes, and they went berserk. They just melted all over the floor, and then they sort of left in an orderly fashion.
So long way continue for them, because it is, obviously, it's a cutthroat world. They need a tour to make money, which is why they're doing 250 gigs a year. But look, more power to them, and it's still a long way from the Late Late Toy Show only a couple of years ago. And from one teenage success to another, have a listen to this.
So they pull back, make other plans. I understand, I'm a liability. Get you wild, make you leave. I'm a little much for everyone. The truth is, I am a toy that people enjoy till all of the tricks don't work anymore. And then they are bored of me. I know that it's exciting running through the night, but every perfect summer's eating me alive until you're gone. Better on my own, they say.
That's Lord and Liability. I know she's, you know, being tipped as the next big thing, but it's a little samey, isn't it?
Well, I suppose that's her taking Adele on in the power ballad stakes and teasing her sexuality. I won't spoil it, but there's quite a story to that song. And the denouement is not, you're going, oh, really? And then you go, oh, I see.
I'm now intrigued. I want to listen to the rest of it. That's one for the car later.
On occasion, she's a bit of a Lana Del Rey clone. But she's also swooping and soaring on a couple of tracks and sounds a bit like a modern-day Kate Bush. And seeing as Kate doesn't seem too interested in making new music, I'll take that. Another OAP, she's 20. When at 16, she sung about sort of bedroom antics and heartbreak. I was going, you know, have you really been through that? I perhaps won't ask. But now it feels like she's lived the songs. And she's very smart because this week there's a really good documentary called Whitney Houston, Can I Be Me, in the cinemas. And it shows how the fame game can destroy you and how the record companies will sit back and milk you for every penny and not look after you. But she learned, she said this herself, the most important word in the whole of the industry, in life, no. I'm not doing that. I'm not doing that festival. I'm not going to Japan. I'm going home. I'm seeing my mates. I'm hanging out with my mum. And she seems to be dealing with this in a way that Lindsay Lohan or Britney Spears didn't. You know, I've been around two ladies who had real problems. Dolores O'Riordan, who got through it, thank God, happy ending. Amy Winehouse, who didn't. And you'd hate to see someone like her, 20, and a massive star. She's busy mates with Taylor Swift, who's another youngish lady who seems to have really taken on the industry. And she's on top and she calls the shots. This is no pop Moppet. Lord is a real artist directing her own career.
She's the real McCoy. But she was thrown into the limelight very young as well. Where did she come from?
New Zealand. And from the sort of back of nowhere, New Zealand. Maybe that's good in a way. I'm not too sure. She came out, it seemed, fully formed. But like with Whitney Houston, I found out recently, she was singing with Chaka Khan, age 14. But you thought Whitney Houston arrived at 20. There's always a backstory. But it seems like she's got a good team of people. And she doesn't have a corporation saying, well, our final quarter figures depend on your record. And that's what Adele was having. She was having record company people saying, look, you know, our final quarter would be a bit low unless you release. She's selling lots of records. She's playing live. But she's doing it at a decent pace. And it's called Melodrama. And it well and truly lives up to the title. Very quickly, actually, going off script, I just saw outside that they reckon that Robert Del Naja could be Banksy from Massive Attack.
Yes, I read that this morning, and it was let slip by someone else in Massive Attack.
By Goldie. Now, I've met Robert loads of times, and mainly talked about Bristol City and Torino. He's a massive football fan.
Never mentioned street arts that might be international. No?
Well, he was really into his graffiti art and talked about the old days, and the Wild Bunch was a collective of street artists and musicians. So I'm going to do a little bit of investigation.
Well, from what I read this morning, it was Goldie in a podcast. Yeah. Well, those podcasts, they'll be the ruination of the world, you know. And he said that something, he's talking about Banksy, and he just said, Robert. I just casually dropped it in.
Well, Massive Attack can be accused of many things, but being prolific is not one of them. It's like an album every 7 years, and then they go on tour and just remix a couple of tracks. So he's got plenty of downtime. So it's not like the Stripes is out there 250 nights of the year.
It just gives him an opportunity to say, no, it wasn't me, isn't it? Well, Robbie Williams, we were decrying Robbie Williams a little last week. Well, you were. I wasn't too bad about it. It seemed to have been a good gig. People really enjoyed it.
Well, the feedback for him was very positive. For Radiohead, magical, I couldn't make it. Justin Bieber was meant to be awful. But the gig of the week last night was Steve Van Zandt in Vicar Street with 15 of his Disciples of Soul. Not exactly a Springsteen-esque 3.5 hours, but 2 hours. I tell you what, he had these backing singers. One lady with a fro. If I wasn't engaged, I would have introduced myself. But she was the most pure soul singer I've heard live. They were magnificent.
What is it? Because we associate Van Zandt so much with Springsteen. And when Springsteen's good to his people, he always brings... The E Street Band has been the E Street Band for as long as they ever wanted to be in it. When Van Zandt goes out on his own, like, is it a Springsteen-esque gig? What do you get?
He's an absolute blues fan. You see, him and Bruce drunk from the same well of show bands almost in the early, you know, that sort of cabaret thing, Frankie Valli.
Not like the show bands
no,
here.
No, not Dickie Rock or Brendan Shine, but they had these kind of Frankie Valli style sort of like supper club bands. But he loves the blues. Again, you know, he's on the road for what, 2 or 3 years with Bruce. He gets a couple of weeks off, and what does he do? Record an album and go out on tour because he loves it. And the thing about Steve Van Zandt is, and say John Bon Jovi, it stopped, he's a music fan. Like half the time he's finding Darlene Love and saying, you've not had your own record out, you're age 68, I'm recording a record with you. The Young Rascals, actually was an old rascal there last night from the 60s, but he's in awe. But it was great because he said, oh, here's a song I wrote with my friend Bruce for Southside Johnny in 1973. I mean, that guy is again, like the Stripes, he's living the dream.
At 60-odd.
I don't know what age he is. Looking to a return to film, he had told me not to worry last year about Donald Trump, and he's changed his mind. He says, worry.
We should worry very much now. Very good. Okay, so Steve Van Zandt, well done. If you're listening, you impressed our Stuart at Biebs. Try harder.
Exactly.
Yeah. It has been a pleasure, Stuart Clark. Thank you for that. Friday Forums next.